It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd
Up! Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson, along with...
Chris Wilson.
That's right, Chris Wilson, my nephew, the guy that actually you helped me start and launch this podcast.
That's right.
You know, we're almost at our 100th episode now.
Really? That's amazing, actually.
Yeah, it really is. I'm surprised I put up with it this long. But, Chris was there from the beginning, and if you go back and listen to episode 1 through right around 10, maybe? I think you did about 10 episodes before you bailed. And or maybe went into hiding. It's a government thing, I think.
I went into hiding. That's what it is.
But anyway, he's joining in me now, and actually, I think we're waiting on Isaac. Isaac might be joining us. We'll have to see about that one. But we're going to talk about a couple movies, Star Trek Beyond and the new all-female Ghostbusters. Although, all you got to do is say Ghostbusters. I mean, it's everybody knows, and everybody's already raised the hell about it, but... Well, let's start talking about Star Trek Beyond. After all, we're waiting for Isaac. He didn't want to see that one. I don't understand that either. How can you not want to see Star Trek?
Yeah, the first two were actually really good. Well, the first two. I mean, the newer two.
Now, see, there, if you go back, we did an episode on the, I think it was the first one, and which two of the other fellow podcasters just destroyed that movie. They hated it. So, but see, I'm on the side where it's okay. Get past the fact that it's a rewritten storyline.
Absolutely, that's what you have to do. Pretty much.
Yeah, it's the same names, but and even some of the same characteristics, but it's not the same Star Trek. It's a J.J. Abrams Star Trek, and which it really is not that bad. I mean, especially this movie. I think this movie, Star Trek Beyond, is like the best out of the three.
Oh yeah, it was definitely. I think it was one of the best. It was just completely full of action, and there was comedy in it, but it wasn't completely overpowering. It didn't take away from the action. So
right, and the one thing that this it kind of had, but only it's really more along the lines of it's the characteristics of the characters in the movie. It had some of those throwbacks to the original, you know, like little things that, oh, I'm a doctor, not a, you know, that. But that's part of the character.
Right, absolutely.
And it's, some people say, oh, look, we did that in the original one, now we're looking, doing it again. No, it's actually part of the character. But yeah, out of the three, this one I would say is the best. Now, the one with Benedict Cumberbatch, I think the only thing they had going for it was that it was Benedict Cumberbatch was in the movie. I really didn't care for that one at all. They tried to retell the Wrath of Khan type story, and it didn't go with me. And then we did the first episode, the first one. It was really hard to get over that hump that, oh my God, they're ruining Star Trek.
Right, absolutely, yeah. I mean, yeah, if you can get past the reimagining on the first one and you just watch it as just a new, brand new movie or even another entry into the Star Trek, which is pretty much all it is.
Right.
It was a really good movie. I think it was a solid movie. Second one, again, just like what you said, I didn't really care for it that much. Mm. I could have completely, you know, not watched any of it and then watched the third one and I would have been perfectly fine with it.
Now, I will say this. The first one was really bad with the lens flare. It was like the constant. The second one, they said they cut it out, but it was still some of it there. This third one, it starts out with lens flare. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, come on. And it's to a point where it's almost comical, but I don't know. He did it in Star Wars too when there were several moments in the Star Wars films where he had that lens flare thing. It's his gimmick, I guess, you know.
I mean, it was a little overplayed, but the actual like the action in space whenever like the well, I don't even know what they were called actually, the little microbots.
Right.
There were so many little shifts at once going on, and like they were just in unison, and it looked really cool. I thought it was really good as far as like the special effects and everything. It looked pretty neat.
Yeah, solid. The CGI on that swarm, for
the
lack
swarm.
Of a better
yeah,
word.
There you
yeah,
go.
That was really cool. I mean, you're absolutely right on that, especially. And the thing I don't know, it's going, I guess in this world, it doesn't matter how many times you destroy the Enterprise.
Oh yeah, it just keeps coming back.
It keeps coming back. But when that swarm destroyed the Enterprise, I'm like, well, gotta get a new one. Yeah, the graphics on it and just the idea behind that as an attacking force is just scary.
It was pretty neat.
So it kind of reminded me, did you ever read Ender's Game or see the movie even?
I saw the movie.
Yeah, well, that's part of the buggers, the enemy in that movie, that's part of in the books, that's part of their way of attacking was a swarming type of thing.
Right.
So I think it worked. And even Independence Day, they had a swarm. So, hey. But anyway, all right, so let's talk about this Star Trek Beyond. I'm going to start out talking about mainly the characters. They're bringing the general idea of the original Star Trek characters, you know, Kirk, Spock, and all that. But they're changing them up a little bit. Now, Spock and Uhura are in love in this one, and it really pays off. It makes a great part of the storyline. Then you've got Kirk, who's not quite the, I don't know what you'd say, the lover boy?
Yeah, he didn't really have much of a love interest at all throughout the movie.
No, and it's like, you know, that's the original Captain Kirk. Every single episode he had a love interest, you know. But this one is like, yeah, it made a bit of a, you know, it was a little different. And I like that aspect of it. He was more of a professional, if you would. And he was actually wanting to get away from piloting a ship, or being a captain of a ship. But it brought him back, so that will kind of a spoiler there, but don't worry about it. The thing that made a big ruckus was making Sulu gay. A lot of people, you know, even George Takei, he had something to say about it, like, there's just no need for it. Well, the way they handled it...
Oh, it was so subtle.
You couldn't even tell.
Yeah, it was incredibly subtle. And that's the other co-writer of the movie.
It's, oh, is that right?
The guy who played Sulu's husband.
Right.
Which was, what, 5 seconds maybe?
Yeah, and if even that. And the main thing was that he had a daughter, and he missed his daughter, and they went to go pick her up at the space station. The husband was there, and they walked away. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, that was it.
There was no big, huge hug, kiss,
no
and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why do people make a big deal out of that? It's like... And some people said it was because it was a nod to George Takei, and George Takei kind of took offense at that, but... I don't think it was a nod to that. I think it was just showing the diversity.
Right.
You know? I mean, they got a different aliens and stuff like that, but still, there's a little more, you know, hit the home type of diversity. But, I mean, like you said, so subtle.
It was, it was very subtle.
If I tell you what, if the stink hadn't been raised about it on the internet, about that aspect of it, I would have not really noticed.
I wouldn't have noticed either, honestly.
And so... Because, like I said, they didn't hug, kiss, anything like that. They didn't make a big deal out of it. They just picked up the daughter and walked away.
And they were in the background of the shot, even. It wasn't like they were right in the forefront of it or anything.
Yeah, exactly. So again, people have that complaint. It's like, just shut up. That's all I got to say. It didn't make sense. And I think when George Takei actually sees the final, if he ever gets to see the movie himself, then he'll probably say, oh, okay, that was done tastefully.
Right.
And more than just tastefully, it was done... Like, no big deal. So, but the other aspect of it was Scotty. And Scotty being one of the co-writers of this script, Scotty, I think, had some of the funniest stuff in that movie.
He did.
And, of course, Simon Pegg, played Scotty, wrote the script. So I'm pretty sure he wrote a lot of that for himself.
Right. Well, I mean, he knows how to write for himself as well. So he's had plenty of practice. So I guess that did help quite a bit.
With Shaun of the Dead and, all the other stuff he's done. But, yeah, he knows how to write for himself. And I still think he captured the Scotty character perfectly. And he added more humor. Now, of course, Dr. McCoy had his moments of humor, but they were mainly aimed at Spock.
Yeah, it was all very sarcastic or dark humor towards Spock, really, in their relationship. And they despised each other, but they respected each other is basically what it seems to come down to.
Yeah, and they really brought that out in this film, in that aspect. It's not just a that's the one thing that bugged me in the first two, actually, was that he would jab at Spock constantly. And it's like, you're just doing that. There's no reason for
right.
it. This time it actually made sense, and it's like, and they showed the mutual respect. And it's like, oh, okay, that's good. Okay, cleared it up. But again, this one is, out of the three, definitely the best one. One other thing. We need to explore that love interest between Uhura and Spock.
Spock really shown, I think that he had a lot more human characteristics in this movie as opposed to the
I'd agree. Well, first of all, he's in love, so maybe that helps.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, he even broke down and almost cried, you know, talking about family and friendship and, you know, so it's like... But the love interest there, a lot of people say that's forced. I didn't see it forced at all. I saw it as, like, very legit. You know, it made sense. And that's one thing you can do with a movie like this. You can rewrite it, make it your own. And, again, some people are upset about the characters. Well, what input do you have to say about the movie?
Well, I really liked it. I thought the pacing was really good. I thought the special effects were awesome. The CGI was really good. It was, they used makeup and CGI. Like, a lot of movies are going full CGI these days, and I prefer makeup, honestly, if they can pull it off. And, I don't know, it was just awesome, really. Like, I liked it. I don't have any complaints about it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're talking about the makeup aspect. The lady that hid the device. The little claw almost looked like an alien. Face hugger.
Yeah, there you go.
So that was kind of cool. It was unique. And but yeah, that was like a Rick Baker type of special effect on that aspect.
Right.
It was really cool because it was functioning. But yeah, all in all, I would say it's a good movie. And for those that, you know, poo-poo on the old Star Trek, or not being the old Star Trek, you know what? This is what we're going
to
get.
Yeah, and it's the third one, so you got to be over that by now. You have to learn how to just deal with it.
Yeah, or just don't go see it. Right. But I'll tell you, if you don't go see it, you're missing out on a fun movie.
Yeah, you're missing out for sure.
All right, well, that's Star Trek. Now we're going to talk about Ghostbusters. We're going to bring Isaac in. Isaac came in finally, and actually he saw the movie before us.
That's a paradox if I've ever heard one. Coming in later, saw it first.
I know, right?
This doesn't seem right.
I want to get your view on the movie first. Now, your opinion, you've already stated this, is that it was mediocre.
It was really mediocre.
Okay.
Did you guys see the 3D?
No.
The movie was getting a lot of, mixed reviews, but not really, because it hadn't been out yet, because of, like, the female Ghostbusters. But
right,
that's not why it was mediocre. It was just, there were only, like, maybe two or three times where they did the whole, ha-ha, I'm a woman joke, or ha-ha, it's not men anymore. But it was just bad writing and bad effects. Like, with all of the budget that they put into this movie, and it totally flopped with that budget, you'd expect it to look better and be funnier, but it was about as funny as an Adam Sandler movie.
Ouch. Oh, man.
That's something.
All right, let me rephrase that. If you didn't have Chris Hemsworth in it, it was about as funny as an Adam Sandler movie.
He was pretty funny. He was good.
He was the best part to me. But, I don't know, I just did not like it whatsoever because it just sucked.
Wait, did you see it in 3D?
I saw it in 3D, and like,
did it seem like it was made for 3D?
Yeah,
and
because
it kind of popped out?
The like, whenever they're shooting the lasers, they have this little like, they have the widescreen like black bars on top and bottom, and when there's like an electricity effect or the laser effect, it goes outside of the movie frame and goes over the black.
Right.
So it makes it like actually look good.
Okay.
But I'm assuming in 3D it just didn't look really that appealing. But I don't know, you guys saw it in non-3D, not me, so.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I didn't miss anything by not having 3D.
No?
Yeah.
I could see where certain parts may have looked like cheesier, actually, in 3D, because it was sort of, they were almost cartoony in a way. Like, the aura around them and everything, all the ghosts, really, was a little bit cartoony, but not in a bad way. I didn't think the CGI was too bad in it. They all had the same look and feel to them, except for the actual, I don't know, the ghost symbol that came.
Right, yeah,
the main antagonist.
Yes.
Yeah. The Rowan character developing into the Ghostbusters logo, and I would have to agree on some aspects of what you said on the CGI. The CGI, because all the ghosts were kind of like stock footage ghosts.
Yeah, pretty much.
Until you got to, like,
end, whenever he unleashed all of them, basically.
Right.
That's when they actually had variety.
Yeah, and at that point, they had, like, you had the balloons from the Macy's Parade that were, Halloween, Macy's Day.
That was
a good joke.
Looking,
yeah.
You had that super tall ghost.
Yeah, and then the one with stilts ghost. But the Stay Puff Marshmallow Man made an appearance, and I
Slimer.
Thought that was clever. Slimer made
and his wife,
appearance.
Girlfriend, and who knows? Who knows?
Hey, I'd say girlfriend because they just met.
That's true. Says ghosts can't find love.
and they just met and stole a car. I mean, there were some individual, but like, I think you're right on the aspect. They did get lazy on some of the CGI, but the ones that were individual, I thought they were pretty clever. You know, like, the guy that morphed into the... First, it started out as an animated... She said something cute. And I like the way they kind of played... Remember in the original Ghostbusters, think of your most feared nightmare. And then, you know, he thinks of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. He goes, what? I was trying to think of something cute. And so it was an evil Stay Puft. Well, and in this one, they said, what's the most hard... I want you to be cute and cuddly. And he goes, well, something like this. And they have the Ghostbusters logo. And is like, well, yeah, that is cute and cuddly. Well, then he morphed into something. Holy cow, there's some pipes on that one. Yeah, we're doing this outside, if you can't tell. And please ignore the music. I'm not enjoying it at all. But anyway... But yeah, when they morphed into the logo, the animation part of it looked like a cartoon.
Yeah, it was one of the best visual parts, in my opinion.
It was weird.
That's why it was so good.
It was like, all of a sudden, it's like, it was completely out of the... I'd love to have seen that in 3D. I'd like to see what that looked like in 3D.
That did look pretty cool in 3D. It was weirder in 3D, because you saw the cartoon go to the, like, actual 3D monster.
Yeah, I could see how that would be, but that was just weird. All of a sudden, it's... Wait a minute, did CGI just get real cheap? You know, it's like, it looked like an animation sale.
It looked like the original Ghostbusters cartoon when it first starts. The ghost pops in and, Yeah, it looks just like that, actually.
And then, that's what they were going for, actually.
Probably, because they were doing constant nods to the originals.
Like the Venkman statue, did you guys notice that in the beginning?
Yep. Yeah, in fact, that was the first cameo, if you will. Although I think it would have been nicer to have him as a ghost.
Yeah, oh, that would have been crazy, actually. Yeah.
Harold Ramis is a ghost.
The ghost of Ghostbusters past.
Yeah, but you know, that was... And then again, then they morphed that into the actual killer ghost, and he was a giant superhuman size, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man size, from the original.
And I basically said he looked like the Oogie Boogie Man from Nightmare Before Christmas. I'm standing by that. He pretty much looked very similar.
When you said that, that's like, that is... I knew I saw that before. And that, you're right, from Nightmare Before Christmas. And, I mean, it was really... But that was a unique CGI. Of course, the guy on stilts, unique CGI, but still had that blue aura that was kind of standard, stock footage, if you will. Slimer was cool because he was Slimer, and he had to pay attention to him. I'm trying to think what other... Well, the first girl ghost didn't impress me at all.
No.
The female ghost, I mean, it's like the CGI was... It's like, okay, is this what we're in store for? If so, I can get used to it. I mean, it didn't suck, in my opinion, but it wasn't the greatest.
The problem is it shouldn't have not sucked, because you know how much of the budget this movie had?
I know!
It should have been better than, like, it didn't suck media, or it didn't suck CGI, that's what I'm saying.
It kind of reminded me of the Scooby-Doo movies that came out a little bit, actually. That's I mean, it was better, special effects-wise, but...
Yeah, those are cheesy, really.
they're a little rough.
Even Scooby-Doo himself was kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
But I don't know, but the storyline, I thought, was kind of clever. They kind of kept it unique enough and still build on an original. Again, you have to get used to the retelling of the story.
Right.
You know, and that's... And the way I look at it, I heard Bill Murray put up a protest, and yet he had the most prominent cameo. And I'm like, Dan Aykroyd was even one of the executive producers. And so it's like, if it's that horrible to remake this, why did the originals decide... You know, of course, Harold Ramis... We didn't hear from him,
right,
you know.
But,
we don't know what he would have thought. But I think if the originals backed it, I think there's something to it. And it was. It was. I mean, and that's the cool part about it. Yeah, this is a movie that is filled with cameos and nods to the original. And the cameos kept coming up from everybody from the original except for, and I can never remember the guy's name, that was in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah.
And he was the key master or whatever.
That's bugging me, actually.
Yeah. Rick Moranis. There we go. And now I got it. It came to my brain. But he wasn't in this. But stay till the end of the movie. There is a post-credit scene. And that tease from that post-credit scene might show that Rick Moranis may make a cameo in the next one.
Right.
I was thinking that after... saying, oh, yeah, nice. And the post-credit scene, it's kind of funny. But anyway.
And the credits themselves were actually pretty funny. Like, it was worth watching. It was
Chris Hemsworth dancing and the Thriller, Michael Jackson Thriller dance combined with a whole bunch of other dances.
Honestly, I wanted to kind of stay to see if there was a post-credit scene, but I was bordering. Because, you know, I didn't want to sit more through more of that movie than I had to, because I don't really like it. But seeing more of Chris Hemsworth, that's always worth sitting through.
Yeah, through the credits, the post-credit scene didn't have Chris Hemsworth in it. Well, there was a little mention of him, but all right, here it is. Spoilers. If you don't want to, listen to this, fast forward a couple minutes, because I'm going to give a spoiler about the post-credit scene, and that way, if people don't want to stick around for the post-credit scene, they can hear what it is. Basically, they're all working in the lab. Leslie Jones, what was her character's name? I can't remember. Patty?
Yeah, Patty.
Anyway, she's listening to a tape recorder, you know, doing the EVP listening, and she goes, hold on. She rewinds it and everything, and they kind of gather around. She goes, you got something? And she goes, yeah. Who's Zool? And then that's it. And Zool was the original creature from the first one, Now you know. That's a post-credit scene. So, all right, so those of you that are just now catching up, I just gave away the post-credit scene, and it's a teaser for another movie, and possibly Rick Moranis. So anyway.
Was that the same scene as the what's-her-name saying that was basically a nuclear reactor and, like, her teacher being in the
yes.
scene? Okay, I wasn't sure if there was
oh, no,
two...
No. No, that was before that.
Okay, so there are two post-credit scenes, right?
Yeah, where Sigourney Weaver made her...
Oh, yeah.
her cameo.
Yeah, they kind of went in and out with the credits a few times.
Yeah. But I like the fact that, by the way, I don't know if you caught this, but the necklace on Kate McKinnon that she wore, and also Sigourney Weaver had a brooch that had the screw U.
Yeah.
I love that. That was so cool. The U with a screw through it. I love that. That should have been the new Ghostbusters logo. but everybody made it a cameo, and except for Harold Ramis, but he did make a cameo as a bust. So it is full of nods to the original, full of cameos, but that's the type of movie this is. It's a comedy, you know, 100%. And I was Isaac. You say Chris Hemsworth stole the movie.
Yeah.
I say Kate McKinnon did.
And she was really funny in it, too. I'm on the fence about it.
Is she the one with, like, the...
She's the crazy one.
I think it was her and Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, highly so. Yeah, out of the entire movie, it would be those two would be the ones that I would say, yeah, I remember their parts 100%. But I loved Kate. She was just crazy.
Yeah, she stuck with it, too. She didn't back down on the craziness.
Yeah, exactly. Every little scene, she had something going on. Actually, this is one of the few that Melissa McCarthy movies that I actually halfway enjoyed.
Really? There's been a couple I've liked, actually, she was in. I wouldn't say the ones that she was a main character. But.
Yeah, the movie Tammy totally trashed my ever going to Melissa McCarthy movie ever again. When you see the entire movie in the credits and the only funny parts in the... I mean, not in the credits, but in the trailer... And the movie has nothing else left to offer.
Right.
You lose me. And that's exactly the way I felt about Tammy. But
she's actually been in a movie with Bill Murray before. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, where she is the neighbor and he was the crank deal.
I thought it was pretty good, that one.
I can't remember the name of it, but that was a good movie.
Broken Flowers, maybe? I don't know.
But yeah, Bill Murray made that movie good, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
She didn't really have that big a part in it.
Not really.
But, Kristen Wiig, I think she pulled her part off pretty well.
She did what she needed to, really.
Right.
I mean, she didn't carry the scenes or anything like that, but she was definitely part of the team. And...
Yeah. And Leslie Jones, I thought she was funny, but
funny parts were given away in the trailers.
Yeah, I think a lot of her funny lines were given out in the trailer.
I don't want to be mean about it either, but her acting was a little subpar sometimes.
Yeah, I would say... I wouldn't say... It was bad.
No.
But it was... There was like... You really weren't giving it your all in that one couple of scenes anyway. But maybe that's just what she was given. I don't know.
Well, she was... The ones I was actually referring to were ones where she was basically carrying the whole scene by herself, too. She didn't have anybody to talk to. Sort of.
Yeah.
That would be difficult.
Yeah, that's true. Like the mannequin scene.
Yeah.
And a lot of it... Now, okay, I gotta say this. That a lot of her comedy... was, like, based on her race and or her sexual her sex.
Right.
You know, her comedy was the that she is a black woman, and it's like, oh, come on, you could have done a little bit more with that. But maybe we'll have to see something better out of the next one. I mean, Ernie Hudson, when he was in the original, it didn't matter that he was black.
Right. You know? Yeah, it wasn't really a big part of
her. That was part of her humor. Like, she even says that at one point where they don't catch her in the stage dive.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a black thing or a woman thing. It's like, that pretty much sums up all her humor in the movie.
Now, the thing that got me about that whole stage dive rock and roll thing with the band playing was the main singer got flung, like he would have been hurt.
I know, right?
And not even 2 minutes later, like, he's singing a song again. Like,
it looked like he got crushed by all the whatever he flew into.
Yeah,
those amps, and those were amps. They were supposed to be amps anyway. But, well, then again, I set up a stage for Van Halen during one of their tours, and they had the huge stacks of Marshalls going all the way across the stage, and they had them all set up before us local crew came in, and we were running cables that were plugged into the amp, and they were about, like, 3 feet long, not plugged into anything else. In fact, they were cut off at the other end. We just tucked them underneath the amp.
Oh, yeah.
So the wall of amp was just blank wall. So it's like, that might have been what this guy was going for, is the Eddie Van Halen fake amps. But anyway, yeah, you're right. That was one. And then, I'll tell you what really bugged me, the mayor. You know, where they're like, oh, we got to cover this up. We don't anybody know. Homeland Security. It's like, oh, there could have been better ways to handle that. To me, it just seemed like horrible. It just didn't fit. But they had to have some kind of thing to keep them from going at it.
Yeah, and that's kind of a callback to the first two, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did the same thing, or sent them to the mental institution in the second one.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, all in all, though, I would say, well, going with both movies, Star Trek, I would say definitely see it. If you weren't a fan of the first two, you know, don't go if you don't want to. But you're going to miss out on a nice sci-fi story.
A nice sci-fi story that is just completely riddled with action. Like,
yes.
There wasn't one moment where I was bored or anything
right,
like that.
Right, exactly. In fact, one of the ways I rate movies on this podcast is if I have to get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of a movie, then I'm bored.
Right.
Well, there was one scene in Star Trek, and I got up, went to the bathroom. I've got to refill a soda, too, because the luxurious Eagle Theater here in Robinson is freaking awesome when it comes to sodas. I'm telling you. It's a great bargain. Anyway, I got up and it's like, and I came back and you said you didn't miss anything.
No.
And it's like, oh, cool. Normally I check runp.com. You ever seen that website?
It's not
they
a
tell
P.
you, they, huh?
UP.
UP.com.
That's how they give you, tell you when you can.
Yeah, when you can go to the bathroom, what you're not going to miss or what you will miss. And then, but I didn't check it for that one, and I didn't check afterthecredits.com because they also tell you whether there's a post-credit scene, which there's not in Star Trek apparently. but I'll say Star Trek, it's a great, like you said, action film, great sci-fi story, great team building,
yeah.
You know, people coming to know who they are, and I think this is the movie that should have been the second one.
Yeah, absolutely. I do too. I think it would have drawn more people in, and people would have been a lot more forgiving.
Yes, yeah, I think so too. Even though it still had the lens flare.
but you're absolutely right. They
did
really good at having this team of people come together as well and do these separate things, because they weren't all together throughout the whole movie. They got separated, and they had to find ways to communicate with each other, but they did really good at keeping the flow of the movie as well as having different storylines go in different directions and then meet up in the middle at some point.
Yeah, exactly. And that's team building. So, any final words on Star Trek before I shift over to my final recommendation about Ghostbusters?
No, I also recommend it, really. Yeah. I just think it was a really good movie.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I watched it.
Me? Yeah, same. That's exactly right. If you can walk out of a movie and say, I'm glad I saw that.
Yeah.
It's a good movie, you know? Ghostbusters. All right, I can definitely recommend it. For those of you that have this weird thing about being a female cast, I don't see even what the issue with that is. This makes no sense to me. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm not living in the 50s like some people. I don't understand it at all.
There's some people that just, they really think that women aren't funny, which I definitely don't agree with in the slightest, especially the cast that they had in this movie.
Yeah. Kate McKinnon totally ruins that whole women aren't funny thing.
Right?
She is freaking crazy. But yeah, and then the other aspect of it's, oh, they're rebooting it. Well, yeah, so what? I mean, a lot of movies getting the reboot. It would have been nice to see it as a sequel. That would have been nice.
It wasn't necessarily, I didn't feel like it was a retelling so much. I mean, they weren't taking over the characters' positions from the first two movies.
Right.
And making it, they were completely separate people. completely separate scenarios.
Yep.
I think it would have been kind of neat if Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and all them came back and they were Ghostbusters before.
Right.
And it was a sequel, like you were saying, and they kind of like hinted back that they knew what was going on, but it was all covered up because that's what they implied anyways, that it's always been covered up. So that would have been a way to take it.
It would have been neat, but it doesn't take anything away from this movie.
No, absolutely not.
But I will say the CGI in it, it seems like it was stock footage and there's on some aspects, but there was some CGI that was really good. So it's a good mix of the two, but it never took me out of the film.
No.
But I would say it's above mediocre on my side. Isaac, what do you say about Ghostbusters? Final words about Ghostbusters.
My main point of putting it at mediocre wasn't that it was necessarily a bad movie. It was an alright movie, but my problem is with the budget they had. They could have made a better movie easily.
Yeah.
But I think most of that budget went to giving the celebrity cameos.
You might be right.
Because
if it wasn't for Chris Hemsworth, what's her name?
Kate McKinnon,
and all of the cameos, even Ozzy Osbourne makes a cameo.
Oh, yeah.
Sharon!
If it wasn't for those three aspects, I wouldn't have enjoyed the movie. Really wouldn't.
Fair point. Yeah, definitely. I could see that. Chris?
The only thing I can think of, really, that we didn't really touch upon is first two movies were very heavy on dry humor. Like, the whole basis of the comedy in them really was dry humor. And I'm a big fan of dry humor myself. But this movie, if you're going into it, you're thinking, oh, it's just going to be a bunch of subtle laughs and... It really is heavy on the jokes. They definitely are writing a comedy, or they wrote a comedy.
Yeah.
And that was what they were geared towards. Like, they were trying to make it a comedy, really.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't... I can't really think of too many serious aspects in the movie, actually. They didn't really go too serious with any of it.
And the first two, actually, is like they wrote a serious movie. They wrote serious movies, but they threw in comedy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, like you said, the dry comedy, which actually, that's what... And, look at, like, other Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis movies. That's what they're filled with. And it matched the time, and it matched the actors.
Right.
And here, there was a lot of slapstick, and which that's comedy in itself, too. So it just depends on, if you're going to go in there and say, oh, they're ruining my Ghostbusters, then, you're probably not going to like it. But if you look at it as, it's a comedy. And it's pretty good. But there was no scary
part. I'm not thinking that way because I haven't even seen the original, so I can't judge on
it. You haven't seen the original?
Really? I think I might have, but it was probably a long time ago when I was young.
Oh, man.
But I can't say that they were ruining the Ghostbusters, so I'm not biased in that way.
True. All right, we're going to fix that. You're going to have to watch at least the first one.
I probably will.
The second one, you can miss it. But,
right.
But the first one, yeah. In fact, I think... I'm trying to remember the evil character from the second one. I was thinking if he...
Vlad something?
Yeah. I was wondering if he made an appearance as a cameo in this. I don't remember, though.
I don't think so.
But there were some characters in there that I was like, I recognize him, but I didn't... I couldn't tell if it's from the original or not. All the people from the original look old.
The secretary was in
there. Oh, yes, that's right. Even the secretary. She was in that. Chris, Ghostbusters, final word?
I'd recommend it if you're looking for a good time, a good laugh. It's not like a laugh a minute. I can see how some people would even possibly get a little irritated by just the constant... There were times where it seemed forced. Like it just really seemed like they're trying to get you to laugh at something, even if it's not funny. But all in all, I recommend watching it as long as you're not too biased because of the first movie.
Yeah, don't be sexist, people. Don't
be
misogynistic.
Sexist. Don't be sexist either, because going into this one, you wouldn't be able to make it through.
No.
And that's just ridiculous anyways.
But, and it's a different twist, and that's the thing. When I go to a movie, if I go to see a comedy, if they made me laugh, they succeeded. If I go to see an action film and I was on the edge of my seat, they succeeded. If I go to see a comic book movie and they got the heroes represented fairly close. I mean, I can forgive some stuff, like Spider-Man having webs come out of his wrist. That's
right,
dumb, but I bought it. So you give me a movie that I like, that give me the purpose, and that purpose is suited. I enjoyed the movie. There's been movies that I haven't. I went in to go see a comedy with the movie Tammy, and I walked out of there bored. And Dan Aykroyd was in that one with her.
Yep.
Wow.
There he was.
But anyway, all in all, I guess we could all say we recommend seeing them. just don't think about seeing the previous
versions of both movies.
Yeah. And you'll be all right, and it's all good. And I'm hoping they do make a sequel to this, because I think it would be funny, and I think they would kind of learn
from some of those better with the sequel.
Yep.
Even though, like, now that chances are they won't with their budget. Or not with their budget, but chances are they won't with how badly this one flopped.
I don't think it flopped that bad, though. That, you know, not bad enough to keep from doing a sequel.
It flopped about 100,000, or 100...
100 million?
Is that only in America, that? Like, I don't know how it did overseas.
I think it might have... Hold on. I'll look it up later.
Okay.
But I don't know. It's 50-50.
I know it flopped in that aspect, but I don't know if that would keep it from doing a sequel. I hope it doesn't, because in the sequel, they won't need all the cameos.
Yeah, absolutely. They've already done it.
They can actually tell the story.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I guess that's going to wrap up another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast, and we're going to get the gang in here sometime soon, because we got to talk about a few things, and in fact, I want to talk about it before we leave here. Let's not wrap up the episode yet, because we're going to get the whole gang together. We're going to talk about that the Justice League trailer, Wonder Woman trailer. Maybe by then we'll have seen Suicide Squad, and there's another one.
Pokemon Go.
Well, yeah, we do want to talk about Pokemon Go, but there's another trailer that Guardians of the Galaxy trailer has been released, but not online yet. I'm waiting for someone to leak it. But they played it at Comic-Con, and all the reviews.
Same goes for Spider-Man as well, though. They showed that at Comic-Con.
Spider-Man Homecoming, they did that too. So they're going to eventually be online, so maybe we'll have those to talk about. But before we do that, we all saw the Justice League trailer. Let's talk about that real quick. Chris, you're the one that told me about it.
Right.
Start us out on this one.
Well, I only watched it about 6 times. I think it looks really good. I wasn't a big fan of Batman versus Superman.
Was anybody?
Well, I mean, I kind of hope not. But it was good. Like, I really liked it. I can't wait to see what they do with it. I don't know why Cyborg's in it, but he looked cool. Like, and Barry Allen, like, I love The Flash. He's one of my favorite superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
He looked really cool. They didn't really do a lot with him in the trailer, but they basically shown who all's going to be in the movie. And then a specific set of powers they have. Not everything they can do, but they kind of teased everybody in a pretty good way, actually.
Yeah.
Barry Allen's really young in this, so he's a lot younger than I thought he would be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, in the TV series, when they first brought this guy out, Grant, I can't think of his last name now. Anyway, the guy that plays on the TV series, I thought he was kind of young for the part.
Right.
This guy seems younger than him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I can see that aspect of it. So, 6 times... Here's my view on it. I didn't see it 6 times yet. I've only seen it twice.
That's normal.
I might catch up on you. Because it was a really good... I thought it was a really good trailer. Here's the thing. It seems like more fun. You know?
Yeah.
The Batman v Superman, we've already crapped all over that one on several podcasts. Everybody knows my opinion on that. I thought that just totally sucked. But I said my opinion again. But anyway,
certainly didn't deserve a hero keg.
No,
at least we all agree.
This trailer seemed like fun. They added humor into it. The whole Barry Allen segment was a very humorous section.
Yeah,
there's a little thing between Bruce Wayne and Wonder Woman, but in her civilian attire, where they're talking about recruiting, and there's a little humor there. The one thing I thought was really awesome is the whole introduction to Aquaman. Bruce Wayne says, you know, there's a man that comes to this village once a year when the village is starving, and he brings fish, and he helps the people out. Why couldn't they have done that in the Superman movies? Because that's the idea of a superhero. They help the people.
Right.
You know? And he pointed out right at the beginning of that trailer that this guy helped. He's a superhero. He helps people. And it's like, yeah, finally, they get it. And, but the other aspect is humor. There's humor in comic books. That's the comic part of it, I guess. But you just gotta go. And finally, it looks like they did it. At least with this, this is actually a longer trailer. About 4 minutes, I think, wasn't it?
Three or four minutes. It was pretty long.
And with this alone, they kind of showed that this might be a pretty darn good movie. Again, introducing Aquaman, The Flash, the humorous parts there. Although I'm not sure about the Barry Allen not having friends part.
Right.
That kind of bugs me, but yeah, we live with it. Let's see here. Who else? Oh, Cyborg. They didn't really do too much with him in the trailer.
No, they just kind of shown what he looked like. And, I mean, he looked pretty cool, but that's really it.
Yeah.
So.
But, again, I'm with you. He's Teen Titan, not a Justice League member. So.
Which I would be down to watch that in a movie as well, Teen Titans movie.
Yeah, that would be an awesome
movie.
That'd
be good.
I think Teen Titans would be really good.
Yeah. Beast Boy.
Yes. And
I want the guy who voices Beast Boy to play Beast Boy.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So, yeah. But anyway, the Justice League trailer, it really makes me want to go see the movie. It makes I saw the trailers for Superman and then Batman v Superman. I didn't want to see them, but I wanted to see them because they're superhero movies.
I didn't watch Superman. I couldn't get myself to do it.
Oh man, I wish I hadn't. Superman, they just totally. But here's the other aspect of it. Superman's not in this trailer at all.
No, not one bit.
And it's like, cool.
Yeah, he might. Maybe he just
I hate that
doesn't
jerk.
Make an appearance at all in the whole movie. That'd be all right.
Well, he is dead, so.
Yeah.
Oh, spoiler.
Yeah, well.
But spoiler for a movie
that no one wants to see.
Yeah, exactly. So, Isaac, you saw it.
Yeah, I only saw it once. so I guess I'm more normal than both of you. But it looks like DC has finally figured out what to do with their movies after Batman versus Superman, because Suicide Squad looks good. This looks good.
Yeah.
Is there any other DC movies coming out?
There's got more. Wonder Woman. Saw the trailer.
Oh yeah, Wonder Woman looked really good.
Yeah.
So, I think after this Batman versus Crapman versus Stupid Man, I think they learned from their mistakes.
Yeah, I think you're right. But see, here's the thing. Remember the scene in the trailer where Aquaman is standing on the end of a pier or something like that, and all the waves come crashing in on him and surround him? Awesome scene. That was like, oh, that looks like a panel in a comic book. Thing is, that's a Zack Snyder scene. That's what he does best.
Right.
But Zack Snyder is also, I think it's either co-directing or directing Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So
there's always that Zack Snyder pull in these movies that might make it bad.
Maybe he learned from his past mistakes.
Actually, I heard an interview with him where he said that it's not that he learned, but he listened to the people's reviews and says, well, I guess I'll have to give them what they want, not what needs to be done. It's like, no, what people want are the fans that love this stuff.
It's what the people deserve, not what people want.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But my gosh. But yeah, I mean, I think he learned, but that scene with Aquaman, that is a perfect Zack Snyder scene. And it belongs in a comic book movie. And if that's the touches he can put in there and leave him out of the script, leave him out of the action, leave him out of the entire dialogue, yeah, we'll be good.
They made Aquaman look pretty cool in this, too. He gets a lot of crap, actually. He's one of the superheroes that people seem to kind of... They're just like, oh yeah, what can he do? He's just stuck in water all the time. But no, he really is a superhero. I mean, I've read some of his comics and everything, and he just gets a bad rap, pretty much, when it comes down to. And this looks pretty good. And they picked that, I can't think of his name, but the guy who's playing him, it's a perfect
Jason
fit.
Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
What perfect can Aquaman fit. Do, they say unknowingly, as a giant megalodon is swimming underneath them?
Well, here's the thing. They even talk about that in the trailer. He goes, I hear you can call fish.
Right?
You know,
yeah.
I love that line. It's like, it plays on that. It's like, it's one of those meta lines that these superhero movies deserve. And it's like, they throw that line in there, it's like, yeah, okay, you're getting it. So, I'm not saying it's by any means any kind of a Marvel Cinematic Universe type of a movie, because Marvel still knows how to do them right, at least the cinematic parts. They're getting closer. They're getting closer.
Marvel took some time, too. I mean, Iron Man was really good when it first started, but they're just now getting to the point where, I mean, Deadpool was all comedy for the most part. It was definitely, there was action in there and everything. It was a superhero movie, by all means.
Well, that was
Fox.
So.
Oh, yeah, geez, what am I thinking?
Yeah.
Didn't even
they're
think
the ones
about
that ruined
that.
X-Men, so.
Originally Marvel, but it's still
Fox Studios.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, finally Fox
scratched that.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, but at least it wasn't Sony trying to do Fantastic Four, so we won't go there. So
Deadpool, what are you gonna do? Sew my mouth shut?
Yeah. All right. Well, so that's it. Yeah, we kind of briefly touched on Wonder Woman. All right, so we touched briefly on Wonder Woman. They did show a trailer for Wonder Woman, and it's a really good trailer. It shows it's the origin story, and I love the fact that they're going back to the World War One origin or World War Two. Yeah, World War One origin, I think, is what they're going with. But anyway, I love the fact that they're actually going back to a wartime, kind of like Captain America was. You know, the first Captain America, that was a wartime history piece.
Right.
So, all right. But yeah, then well, the other thing, they showed more of her powers, if you will, in the trailer. Especially the glowing lasso. They didn't show her invisible plane yet, though.
No, I don't know why not. But.
Well, maybe they did.
Yeah, maybe, perhaps.
How could you not see it? It's right there.
Don't you just see the giant invisible plane right in front of you?
I love that in the Lego movie. We're getting Wonder Woman's plane. Where's it at? Right there. Where? Okay, crap. So, anyway. All right, well, let's wrap up the podcast once again. Let's see here. Basically, don't forget, go to nerduppodcast.com. Check out all the merchandise. We got t-shirts for sale that are just beautiful. They got our beautiful faces on them. You look cool when you wear them. And there's all sorts of other ways to support the podcast. You can just make a straight donation. You can purchase something through Amazon. You can purchase something through iTunes. And click on the link on our page. You get the credit for it. Also, don't forget, a couple ways you can interact with us. You can leave a voicemail on our webpage. And we'll play that on the air if you want, or on the podcast if you want. If not, at least you maybe ask us a question, and we can answer that on one of the future podcasts. Or we have a new thing up. We've got a survey. We want to know who's out there listening. So on the right-hand side of the nerduppodcast.com website, there's a survey, and it's just going to ask you questions about your age and kind of, we just want to get a general idea of what audience is out there. So it's just going to ask you some things about, you know, who you are. It's very, in fact, I don't think you can put a name or an email address in there at all. So it's very anonymous. It's just the fact that we just want to kind of get a feel of what our audience is like. So check that out as well. So, I guess in the meantime, that brings an end to the podcast. I'm Gil T. Wilson, along with...
I'm Chris Wilson.
I'm Isaac Wilson.
And like we say every week...
Wilson!
Stay nerdy.